I want to read from the book of Acts, chapter 2. The Bible says here, when the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were all with one accord, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you say filled with the Holy Spirit? Can you say that again? Filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterances or utterance. Lord, we want to bless your name today because we know that you are here. Holy Spirit, move among us. Increase. Bless your people. Heal your people. Do miracle among us. Come, Holy Spirit, there's nothing we can do without you. Holy Spirit, presence of God. This is the day of your power. This is the day of your glory. This is the day of your move. Come and move among us, Holy Spirit. Let soul be saved. Let lives be set free. Captive be set free. Give hope, destiny, Father God. Holy Spirit, come. How we need you, how I need you right now, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. I say good morning, everybody. How are you today? I am very expectant. Of the move of God. You know, I am expectant. Because God is among us. And you know, when God, you know, when the Spirit comes, he comes with purpose. He comes with direction, guidance. He comes with a specific plan. And I wonder what is that purpose, his purpose for you now, for us here right now. You see, let us not miss that this morning. Okay, so I just want to invite you to kind of open your hearts and collaborate with the Spirit this morning as he moves, as he wants to bless you. You see, my expectation this morning is that when we're done here, your life never be the same. Say amen with me. And your life will never be the same. As Reverend Andrew said earlier on, Pastor Robin is preaching now in London. But last week he started a topic that we want to follow up with, that the topic of prayer. But in fact, it's prayer and fasting. The topic of prayer and fasting. You see, Pastor Robin is a great teacher. So he kind of, I'm a preacher. So he kind of gave the outline. He dissects, you know, the whole topic of prayer, using the life of this great man of God in the Bible called Nehemiah, the guy that God used to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple, the wall of Jerusalem. We see the guy that God uses to kind of start a revival among his people. So we've seen in the life of Nehemiah that we've seen throughout the scripture, throughout the Bible, that he is a man of prayer. He is a man of prayer, you know. And when we say a man of prayer, he is a man who has a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. You see, today we wanna zoom into fasting. But in reality, since last week we were talking about the same thing, you know, because we can't separate prayer from fasting. If we talk about, you know, when we talk about the lifestyle that is required from us as disciples, as man or men and women of God, as the people of God, we cannot separate prayer from fasting. We can't separate fasting from prayer. So, and you will see that, you know, the references that Pastor Robin, the scripture that he uses last week, you know, the Bible talk about Nehemiah, you know, return to prayer and fasting. He had that burden and run into a place of prayer and fasting. So prayer and fasting. Somebody say prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Very, 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 very important. You know, but you see, everything has a reason. There is a reason for everything. There is a purpose for everything. So we can ask ourselves, why do we have to fast and pray? Why do we have to pray and fast? And especially, why is it that at this particular time, at this particular moment, you know, we are talking about prayer and fasting? Why? It is good to ask why. You see, it is good to ask why. You know, when we go through the Bible, we go through the scriptures, we go through the word of God, the Bible, we see that, you know, whenever God wants to do something, he would identify people that he can cooperate with, that he can collaborate with. He will identify. It could be one person, it could be a group of people, it could be a community, you see. And then God would put a burden in their hearts. And then the community, the people or the person, they will take it from there and run with it. According to, you know, God's divine purposes. And then when they walk in that obedience to God, then they see something happen. God's kingdom come. God's will is established. God's purposes are established. So we could ask ourselves, we've been talking about new wine and the need of new wine skin. New wine skin for the new wine. So we can ask ourselves these questions. Why do I have to repurpose or to realign myself? Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to collaborate with God, especially at this time, to see His plan and purposes fulfilled? You see, for the past few weeks, month, there is a burden in my heart. There is a burden in my heart. You know, when I look at the spiritual landscape of our country, you know, my heart is heavy. Now, I've been in many meetings with the so-called evangelists, not so-called, rightly so, you know, powerful men of God. And I've been in a position myself where, you know, off or outside of this land, outside of this geographical sphere, you know, we've been on crusade, or crusade is just, you know, even, you know, streets or door-to-door, one-to-one evangelism, where we see God's hands move in a mighty way. We see God's hands move in a mighty way. We see miracle. We see, you know, people, listen, he want to preach with me. That's my boy. That's a miracle there. He know his destiny, you see, so don't stop him. So we see people coming out of their wheelchair. I mean, I supposed to talk on fasting today. But so we see people coming out of wheelchairs. We see, you know, blind eyes open. We see ears popped open. People who hasn't heard from birth. You see, we see people, you know, talk. We've seen those kind of miracles. We've seen demon leave bodies. There was a moment I was in Bamako, Mali, and the power of God was moving mightily. There was this young lady with, I would say, probably insanity, la folie. She kind of completely lost her mind. All right, so in this context, you will see those kind of people in psychiatric hospitals. You don't see them on the streets. So this woman, very, forgive my language, but you know, very dirty. And the power of God was moving, and she was kind of rolling on the floor, and people were praying for her. Now, the next day, Now I see this same woman who came to the meeting, you know, dressed beautiful, completely transformed. The power of God can do. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, he who is able to do exceedingly above of all we can think and even ask for. He is able to do that. But he is able to do that through his power that is at work in us. You see, so we see those things, and I've been recently in this meeting where they were referring to the miracle happening in Africa. They were referring to the miracles happening in other countries, you know, and we would see, and that is true. We see the crusade, the campaign with people coming out of wheelchair, throwing all of these things, being restored to life. We see mass campaign where thousands of people came in to give their life to Christ. Now, I wonder, and I always ask myself, why is it that we cannot see those things in this land? Why is it that we cannot see those move of God in this land? Now, people give a lot of reason, arguments. You know, somebody even say that we don't need God in our society here. We don't need God here. And when you kind of analyze, really, we don't need God. Because the system, I'm praying that God give me the opportunity to preach about, you know, the system of this world and the system and the kingdom system. There are two systems. You know, kingdom system and the system of this world. You know, and we, the church is being corrupted by the system of this world. And it is so dangerous. That is why we don't see the power of God move among us as Christians, even in this land. You know, when somebody had a headache or had something, you know, we've got the NHS. We go to the NHS, which is good. NHS is fantastic. But we have become so dependent on the NHS, the social, you know, even what they call, what is that? They put all these benefits in one now. What do they call it? Universal credits. You know, universal credit. Listen to me. I am not saying that you should be ashamed of being on universal credit. I am not saying that, you know, you should not. I am not saying that, you know, if you need it, I am not saying that. But what I'm saying is, you know, the system is being designed to keep people on universal credit. And when we live on the system of this world, you know, we fail to tap into this kingdom system. But the kingdom system is designed to glorify God. Hallelujah. The kingdom system is designed for us to walk on water. I'm supposed to preach to talk on fasting, but I'm giving you the reason why we must fast. The reason why we must fast. We need to understand. I said earlier, you know, Pastor Robin, he's a great teacher. He's going to come back and we're going to revisit that. In fact, the whole month, next month, we're going to be talking about and practicing prayer and fasting. So, yeah, bear with me. Because something must change in our lives, in our mindset. Something must change. You know, there is no way that we kind of grab hold on, you know, the purposes of God for this town, for this church, for your life. For the Bible says that news of him went out around the surrounding area. News of him. You know, there is no way news of you went about if our mindset remained the same. If our mindset are designed according to the system of this world. Say, I refuse this system. Say that. Say, I refuse the system of the world. Say, I embrace the kingdom system. Say, I embrace the kingdom system. The Bible says that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Kingdom system, my brothers and sisters. Kingdom system, hallelujah. That is what we need. Now, kingdom system. Now, God opened this man's vision. And he said, can I have the book of Daniel chapter 4? So I'm diving into the subject now. So the Bible says that God opened his vision. So he understood. Now this guy, he was living his life good. Daniel, good position, just like Nehemiah. Good position, enjoying, you know, the goodness of the land. So the Bible says that he understood that 70 years has passed or coming to pass where God has promised to restore Israel, to restore the people back to their land. Hallelujah. And then he kind of noticed that we are coming to that time. And things are not happening. There's nothing that suggests to me that this is going to happen. So the Bible says that this guy, Daniel, he kind of just as Nehemiah, he started praying and fasting. The Lord shows us here in this house that he wants to pour out his new wine. He wants to pour out his new wine. And you know, the new wine, what is it? We need to have the understanding of the new wine. Understanding of what God is going to do. You see, do you know that in this place, people are going to come in wheelchairs and leave wheelchairs here? Shebra soka papa senta branta. Hallelujah. Do you know that people are going to come to this place just to investigate? And they will say, come on, I don't know, but there is something in this place. I don't know, but no. I don't know. This was my plan. But now, come on, I think I'm going to dwell here. Do you know that this place is the place where, you know, the temple of God, where there would be a restoration? In fact, we could see an army rising up from this place. I see an army rising up from this place. God is about to do something new. God is about to do something powerful. God is about to do something great. But there is no way that we sit and do nothing and hope that something is going to happen. It doesn't happen like that. It doesn't happen like that. No. God needs people who he can collaborate with. I want to see God's purposes being established in my life, in this place, in this town, in this city, in this country. There is no place in the world where God cannot show his power. If he can do it in Africa, he can do it here. If he can do it in India, he can do it here. Hallelujah. I've been talking recently. We need to see again the time where we kind of go out and there is a massive gospel proclamation outdoor with thousands and thousands of people coming. We need to see those things again in this land. Hallelujah. Those things started from here, not from Africa, not from India, not from America. It started from here. Hallelujah. And we need to see it again. Water. Spirit shall come to the land again. God move and glory shall come to the land again. Hallelujah. We serve the God who remained the same. The Bible says Jesus, Hebrew 13, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Jesus is the same. So why is the gospel preached in Africa has a result, and the gospel preached we don't see the result? Why is that the gospel preached in India has a result, and the gospel preached here hasn't got a result? No. You know, the Bible says, do you know? It is not by might, it's not by power. It is by the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible says that Jesus couldn't do a miracle there because of unbelief. Yeah? Yeah? Okay. But these same Bibles also say that Jesus went and every single person was healed. Every single person was healed. You know, it doesn't depend on them. It depends on us. Because when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, with the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, with God's purposes, there's nothing that can stand your way. Those are the things that we need to desire in this church. And those are, you know, where we are heading. That's where we are heading. That is where we are heading. Hallelujah. We are heading to a place where, you know, the power of God is going to break out. Hallelujah. In a mighty way. Hallelujah. Shabra ke sata mambro stoko lebe. Hey. Ah, Jesus. Oh, you know, forgive me. I get excited when I'm, you know, but yeah, there's something. Wow. Wow, your life has got to be transformed. Our lives. So, because God shows us what he is about to do, he shows us the state of this land, the needs, you know, there is a disconnection between generations here, and it is dangerous. We must do something. We must do something. They don't know about God. You know, church, the word church, now we're changing everything, kind of. We are also moved by the modernization. And, you know, church is called now centers like Oasis Christian Center and all that. But we are removing the word church from things. And, you know, when they don't see those traditional building, you know, people don't identify with church. People don't know. And the world, you know, they are key word that are phasing away dangerously from our vocabulary. So where's my, where are my notes? Okay, I got 4 minutes or 6 minutes. So why do we fast? Why do we fast? Pray and fast. Prayer and fasting. You know, prayer and fasting give us the opportunity to return to God, to humble ourselves and walk in repentance. This is something that they, you know, all of them that God has used to bring His glory, to bring restoration, to bring His move, to bring revival, Everything starts from there. The place of prayer, fasting, and repentance, where we notice and we agree with God where we are. It's not where we should be. We have gone far away. It's not their sin. It's our sin collectively. We identify with that. And we come to God and humble ourselves in prayer, in fasting, in repentance, in crying out to God. Lord, do not turn away. Do not turn your face from this land. Do not turn your face from my life. Do not turn your face from your promises, from your purposes, because of our sins. No, don't do that, Lord. But we are crying out, Father, please come. Have mercy. Repent, prayer, fasting, prayer, fasting. Give us the opportunity to repent and set our hearts right before God. Ask for His forgiveness. And we can see that in the book of Joel, chapter 2, 12 to 17. Acts 10, prayer and fasting move God's hands. Prayer and fasting, Acts 10, 30 to 31. Prayer and fasting move God's hands. Hallelujah. When we kind of resume to prayer and fasting, you know, crying out to God for His mercy, for His grace, for His life to come. You know, God's heart is moved. And His hand is moved. The Bible says Cornelius answer. 3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour. At 3 PM, suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remember your gift to the poor. You know, he was praying, and suddenly Jesus appeared to him. God appeared to him. An angel appeared to him. You know, when we kind of get into the mode of prayer and fasting, We encounter God, and that is true. Amen. Prayer and fasting gives us the opportunity to discover God's plan for our lives. You see, we may have some ideas of what God is going to do, but when we start, you know, praying and fasting fervently, waiting on God, He will reveal His plan and purposes for us. He will reveal His strategies. He will reveal what He is about to do. Acts 13, 2 to 3. Prayer and fasting give us the ability to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, it is not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. There is nothing we can do if we are not clothed with His Spirit. The Bible says Jesus Christ returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about Him spread through the whole countryside. You see, Jesus just he came from a time of 40 days of prayer and fasting, a time of communion with God. Prayer and fasting give us the ability to manifest the dominion, our dominion over demons and principalities. You see, it is important that, you know, those things that are resisting our lives, those things gotta move. And you have to be able to deal with it. We have to be able to deal with it. Hallelujah. He said, I gave you power to walk over the principality, over the power of the enemy, to cast out demons. Hallelujah. Why is it that those things have to kind of, no, they must go. I must be set free. Hallelujah. Yes, these are true. Prayer and fasting open heaven over your life, our lives, and connect you to God's divine plan and strategy. Wow, I want to be in a place where I know God's divine plan and strategy, and I can execute that perfectly with Him. Hallelujah. I want to be His agent. So prayer and fasting. From next month, March, we dedicate, we set apart next month as a prayer and fasting month for us, where as a congregation, as a body of Christ. I actually finished, is it? My time is up. So as a body of Christ, Sandra, can you pray for the sick as I landed, I finished. So let's be ready for next month, where we would as a congregation, as a body of Christ, as a family, we want to, you know, set that time apart, aside, where we pray and fast. Pray and fast. But not just the month of March, but our expectation is that God kind of help us to unleash something in our hearts that can now remain as a lifestyle, because here it is about developing a lifestyle, a discipline of prayer and fasting. It is not just one-off thing. We've got to be constantly praying and fasting. Hallelujah. If you can fast one day a week, hallelujah. If you can fast 2 days a week, hallelujah. If you can get into your habit to fast. And do you know that fasting is good for your body as well? It'll do you good. you know, you can become like lighter. And healthier. You know, but wow, there's a power that we need to tap into. There is a glory. There is a grace. Hallelujah. So, now, how do we fast? I will, because my time is up, I will recommend you to read Isaiah 58. Can you please read the chapter? Isaiah 58. You know, fasting is not about just not eating. It's about the disposition of our heart. You know, how is your heart? How is your heart? So, the practical aspect, how do we do that? Disposition of our heart. We cannot say that we are fasting and then having, you know, arguments. Or we cannot say that we are fasting and, you know, holding people in our heart. We cannot say that we are fasting and not forgiving those who need forgiveness. You see, it is very important. So, fasting is, as I said, is a time where you set apart, you know, you don't just go about doing your normal stuff, but you need to dedicate. 1 hour, 2 hours, half an hour, where you are right there by yourself with God, praising Him, praying or meditating the Word of God. It is very, very important. Amen. So, now, I understand that there are people who have a problem with, with fasting in terms of, you know, people who are on medication or, you know, for various reasons, you cannot fast. There is no problem with that. You know, you can also fast. Make sure you set a time. You do something, you know, maybe, you know, those time, TV time, what are those program on the favorite program on TV now? You know, let's switch off TV. Let's switch off those things, those discussion, vain argument, discussion, but find time for God and pray. So practically, what we are saying is that during the fasting, prayer and fasting time, we're going to have one meal a day. Try to have to eat just one meal a day. Try to eat one meal a day. Okay, one meal a day. If you can do that, that'll be great. You know, the first day is going to be a little bit hard, especially the very first day. It's going to be a little bit hard. But after 2-3 days, you know, your body will adjust to that. And you're going to be flying with the Spirit of God. Sandra, please come. Next week, Pastor Robin would continue with that, with more instruction. Tomorrow in the newsletter, we're going to send more instruction, more information about it. We're going to release also some video during the week to give more direction and instruction. And also give more about, talk more about why we must fast in this season. Amen. God bless.